You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. For those of maybe new and listening, that is Tim Hortons delicious coffee in a Tim Hortons mug because I love Tim Hortons and it goes great with Tim Talks. We kind of threw that together. The idea, the concept was in Canada, we love to sit at Tim Hortons and talk and discuss. And so that's what we're doing. We're discussing and taking interest in ministry. And we've been talking this week about changes in ministry, things that can't change. And today, Brother Wolven, I'm excited to talk about things that we should not change. What shouldn't change in our movements? And greetings to you today, my friend.
Well, for our position, you know, what cannot change is our Bible version. No matter how popular or educated people say using the NIV, ESV, whatever it may be, I think understanding that there is a set standard. Now, of course, that's something that our society does not like to hear, is that there's a set standard that cannot change. And of course, that begins with the scriptures. And so that's one of the things that we should not change. But I do think that we need to be much better overall at explaining our position and teaching our position rather than, well, just let me tell you, don't change and hang on to that and just because I say so.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I had a pastor here in town that is the chaplain on our police department, and he's asked me to do a co-chaplaincy with him. And so we had a meeting the other day, and after the meeting, he texted me and he said, hey, are you okay working with an NIV guy? And I said, oh, I've converted worse than that. laugh back. And he wrote back and he said, thank thee.
Thank thee.
Thank thee. So, yeah, now I'm King James. I'm going to be King James till I die. I just see the value of it. I see the beauty of it. I see the need of it. And some don't get that, but I just believe that's where we need to be. And I've said, and I don't even know if I believe what I say sometimes, but I've said that if somebody came up with a translation that changed the old English into a modern English but did not lose, you know, the quality or the meaning, I'd maybe do that. I don't know if I still say that. I think that old English, there's some things in it that we don't understand are important. That's something, yeah, I don't want to change.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, there's a big difference in the Bible between thee and ye. You know, whether it's singular or plural.
Right. Yeah, and it's study that out if you haven't. There's some wonderful things there. Words that were used that just really are of depth, and we don't have some of that depth in our language anymore. I listen to people talk today, and I think, wow, we are really stupid people. We have such a shallow vocabulary, and it's just sad. Something we can't change. I don't think we can't change doctrine for sure.
Amen.
Doctrine is key, and if we change our doctrine, then we are not who we are, and we should change our name and walk away.
Not just merely the Baptist distinctives, which of course make us Baptist, but that body of doctrine.
Yeah, and you know, we could go at length and talk about each individual doctrine, but I think most of those listening are going to understand. And here's something that we've been talking to preachers really the last couple of days. Maybe we need to address the person in the pew, or those teenagers that are listening, and tell them why. Those things. The King James Version, if you're a teenager today, and if you're someone just sitting in the pew today, I challenge you to study the history of the bringing about of the English translation of the Bible. It's deep, and it can get heavy, but you need to study that out and find out why that's so important, starting with, you know, men like Wycliffe and, you know, the Geneva Bible and the Great Bible and some of those things, even before the King James. And then study why the King James was brought about And so that's a good start. And then as far as doctrine, I want to challenge people. Ask your pastor to preach on doctrine and the importance of it. Jesus said, until I come, give attendance to doctrine. Yes. Give heed to doctrine. And there's a reason why he said that. And I think a lot of preachers today are dealing with, you know, the issues of the day more than our doctrine. And I would challenge them to stay true to those things.
I guess another thing that just cannot change, and I think has changed drastically, is impassioned preaching.
Oh,
I think that our preaching has, you know, we've kept with preaching, but I would probably greatly examine, are we still as passionate as we ought to be? You know,
yes.
Are we consumed with the word as preachers? I mean, our people are never going to have a passion if we don't have it. As a generic hearing of messages, you know, just a regular message that's on a church website. I do that from time to time. I'll just find an average, if you want to say it that way, Independent Baptist mm-hmm. church, and mm-hmm. just sort of listen to a Wednesday night service or listen to mm-hmm. a Sunday night service. And, you know, it almost sounds like sometimes, well, I'm filling our spot. We're here because we're supposed to be. And yeah. and we're not really giving, you know, we as preachers aren't really giving people a desire of looking forward to coming.
Mm-hmm. My pastor, Dr. Strachan, taught us this in Bible college. He said, you make every service like you're preaching to 1,000 people. You make every
Amen.
Service like 1,000 people are coming to that service. Whether you have 5, 15, 50, or 5,000, you make it the same. And I'll tell you, that's hard to do sometimes when you're looking out at 20 people and thinking, I'm preaching to 1,000. It can be hard to do, but you can do it and should do it. You should give them the very best service and very best reason for coming to church that you
Amen.
Absolutely can. The preacher used to say, set the pulpit on fire and people will come to watch it burn.
Yes.
People love to follow a fire truck to see a fire. And it's the same thing. Most of our pulpits in our churches have been watered down or, you know, have been burned out. I don't know. I tell young guys, you got to be impassioned when you preach. And that doesn't mean you just start screaming and hollering and yelling. That's not necessarily passion. Passion is speaking from your heart and conveying a great emphasis on things. That's passion, and that's what we need to share. Great point. Great point.
I love being at church. I love participating in church services, and I think that sort of comes out. Not everybody's going to be like us. We're real jokesters, and we crack jokes and, you know, sometimes get a little bit irreverent in the middle of the services or something. But, you know, not everybody's going to be that way, but you can be you and you can be yourself that's on fire for the Lord and happy in Christ. Not just, well, we're here and here's some things that we have to do. I mean, here's some things we get to do. What a different concept.
Yeah. And we don't want to hear this, but you're competing today. You're competing with Minecraft. Some guys don't even know what that is. It's a video game that kids are all crazed about. You're competing with the music, the sound, the effects, the color, the changing. You're competing with Facebook and the draw of attention of others that way. You're competing with television programs. You're competing with sports. You're competing with just, business today. You got to have something that draws people and makes them want to come out of their habitual lifestyle of everyday mundane to come and hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And I'll tell you that the contemporary crowd knows that, and they've got that. And they've learned how to deal with that better than we have. And that's one of the reasons why they go. I don't agree with some of the things they do, and I don't like some of the things they do. But they keep it upbeat. They keep it exciting. They keep it contemporary in the fact that they're dealing with events and things of the day, where we don't do that sometimes, and we make a mistake.
making the Bible relevant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. People need to know how to live today. And in this day, in the problems of the day. Here's something we said the other day. This is funny. When I was a kid, homosexuality was not only a sin, it was against the law. If you were right. homosexual, you went to jail.
Right.
And here today, our youth pastor is dealing with homosexual and lesbian kids coming to youth group and saying, what's wrong with what I'm doing?
Right.
And taking offense that we would ever teach or preach against it. And so he's dealing with it on that end, where I never dreamed, right. you know, we deal with those kind of things. And so that's something that we have to look at and address today. So what are you going to do? Are you going to say, you know, it's 1930, you ought to be in prison, you ought to be stoned to death? Or do you deal with in this day trying to win them to Jesus Christ with mercy and grace and all of those things, while at the same time standing strong on the Word of God?
Amen. Amen. Yeah. You know, we have the opportunity to make a difference. And once our teens, college-age people, young adults, you know, really can grasp hold of that, of you, you know, God can use you to make a difference. You know, just make a difference in your life of your friend or the life in your family or, you know, one coworker. I mean, what we don't have to be, quote unquote, you know, trying to swing for the fences and, you know, saying if you're not leading 1,000 people to the Lord a year, you know, you're backslidden. Let's concentrate on one at a time. Let's be giving the gospel out one at a time and praying for one at a time and doing what we can to, you know, I mean, you're changing somebody's life. What a thrill. There is nothing better in the world than to know that you've made a difference for God in the life of another individual.
Yeah. I would say one of the things that cannot change is discipleship.
Yes.
And the interest in one-on-one teaching someone of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I know that a lot of contemporary churches talk about discipleship. I don't know what kind of program they use, but I know that one of the greatest effects of our church has been discipleship. We try to get everybody who comes to our church, whether they are newly saved or if they've moved to the area, we want to see them discipled. We want them to go through the same set of lessons that everybody does so that they can all be on board. And I think there are a lot of churches in the fundamental movement have gotten away from discipleship and taking that time with people. And you do yourself a disservice in doing that. Don't give up discipleship. It's time consuming. It's aggravating. It takes much more than we want to devote to it sometimes. And by the way, discipleship is not just doing a set of lessons. Discipleship is saying, hey, I missed you at church Sunday. Let's get together for coffee and talk about some things. And let me help you with your children. Let me help you with the problems of your life. And those kind of things. That must be in our church. We can't do without that, for sure. Give me one more, Brother Wolf. We've got about 2 minutes left. So give me one more thing, and we'll close this out.
I'll tell you what I think that we're missing a lot is the aspect of praise. Really giving God glory, giving God praise, both in our services and individually. Man, the early believers, you cannot read the book of Acts without seeing repeatedly, you know, they gave God glory, they gave God praise, they lifted up their voice, they sang, they praised God and thanked Him, they prayed and praised the Lord. It's all through the book of Acts, and many of our people in our churches have gotten to the point where we're detached, we're unemotional. And, you know, we know what's right. We know what we've been led to do. And so therefore we just do it only because it's right. And it almost looks as though we don't enjoy doing it. And that may be a little bit where we could be losing some of the younger generation, because they perceive, whether correctly or incorrectly, that we're not happy about what we're doing.
Yeah. Here's my last take. Brother Wolven, what do you think about social pornography? Just having a little bit, just, you know, just a couple times a week, nothing heavy, nothing where we're really getting grossly involved, but just a little pornography, social pornography. What do you think?
No, obviously it's wrong.
Right. But social drinking is okay. Having a little bit, you know.
Right.
We're not really going to get all consumed. I'm telling you, we cannot change our position on social drinking.
Amen.
We cannot. I'm telling you, those people are making huge mistakes who are saying that that's okay.
Amen.
I cannot believe it. And when that comes around, I just talked to a gentleman I met on vacation. Great, great guy. Wonderful couple. Sweet Christians. And I said, what's your position? And he said, oh, yeah, we socially drink. He says, but, you know, I've always had that in check. And then he goes on to say, now my son, he got involved in drinking hard liquor and has been drinking at work, and we've noticed, and things are happening. And I thought, well, where do you think he got that from? Where do you think that started?
Right.
And not to say that a kid who's been raised in a home where there's been no drinking can't do the same thing, but, oh, I just think you give a condoning to it. So I would say, guys, don't let that go. Hang on to that thing.
Amen.
Wow. Been awesome. Been an awesome week. We need to be of this day, but not changing with this day, if that makes sense. There's some things we can do to make our churches effective in this day, but we don't have to change everything. We don't have to change those core value things. Brother Wolven's been awesome talking to you this week, and you've had some great input, and I thank you for the topic. I'm Brother Al Stone in St. Thomas, Ontario, trying to hold strong.
This Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. Let me encourage you, be steadfast, be unmovable, yet we still need to be always abounding. This is a great life to get to serve the Lord. So don't forget, please, to subscribe, give us a rating and a review. God bless.
Hey, Tim Talks is done. Now it's Tim time. Please give some thought to what we've said this week. And look at your ministry as the pastor, as someone sitting in the pew, someone coming into the church. Look at those things and maybe have some discussion. What can we do to make what we've got the very best church we can? This is Tim Talks. I'm Brother Al Stone. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.